We come today to the fifth I am saying of Jesus in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Mary and Martha and Lazarus were two sisters and a brother who lived in the village of Bethany, less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. They were friends of Jesus, and He probably stayed in their house when He visited Jerusalem. There are several references in the Scriptures of His being in Bethany. This Mary was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. You can read about that in Mark 14:3 and in John chapter 12, verse 3. Lazarus became ill. So the sisters sent for Jesus over across the Jordan River where John used to baptize in the hopes that Jesus would come and heal him. When Jesus got word of Lazarus' sickness, He deliberately delayed His going to him. When He finally did go to see Lazarus, Lazarus had already died and had been buried for 4 days. Sometimes we hear of people having brief experiences of death. What usually happens is that their heart stops beating and then they are resuscitated. These death experiences never last more than a few minutes, and there have been books written about what these people experienced in that very brief period of death. There are no stories in these modern books on death and dying about anyone being dead for a day or two or three and then being resuscitated, because it doesn't happen. That is what makes the story of Lazarus so powerful. Lazarus was dead for 4 days and Jesus raised him from the dead. Also, there are some so-called faith-healing preachers around the land today that claim to be avenues for miracles. But I have never heard of one of them verifiably raising the dead. If one of those faith-healing preachers ever verifiably raises a dead person who has been dead for 4 days, then I will reevaluate my position on modern-day miracles. But until that happens, I will continue to believe that it is all a hoax. When Jesus did arrive, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha both questioned Jesus about showing up late because they knew that He could have arrived earlier and prevented their brother from dying. Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying. But He had another purpose on this occasion. He wanted to demonstrate how He is the answer to death. And in doing that, to bring glory to God. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die." That is the answer to the problem of death. But what does it mean? There are three kinds of death addressed in that statement of Jesus. And He is the answer to all three of them. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in Me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." There is a reference to physical death in that statement. "Whoever believes in Me, though he die." That is a reference to physical death. There is a reference to spiritual death in that statement. "Yet shall he live. Yet shall he live because he has been regenerated from spiritual death." And there is a reference to eternal death in that statement. "Everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." He has already said, "Whoever believes in Me, though he die," that is a reference to physical death. He may die physically, yet shall he live and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Shall never die is a reference to eternal death. He shall never die eternally because he has spiritual life, eternal life, and he therefore will not die eternally. Now, death is essentially a separation. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. Man is made up of a material, physical body and an immaterial, invisible soul or spirit. When the soul or spirit leaves the body, that is physical death. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul or the spirit from God. There are plenty of people walking around who are physically alive, yet they are spiritually dead because they are separated from God. They are unregenerate. They have not experienced the new birth. Eternal death is eternal separation from God. Eternal death is simply an extension of spiritual death into eternity. I want you to see how Jesus is the answer to all three of these kinds of death. Jesus is the answer to spiritual death. Spiritual death is the separation of the soul or the spirit from God. Sometimes it is clear which kind of death is in mind in a given passage of Scripture, and sometimes it is not so clear. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 is a passage in the Bible where it is clear that it is talking about spiritual death when it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." Dead in transgressions and sins is spiritual death. And the context further clarifies this as you continue to read. "In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." This is addressed to people who were physically alive about their former spiritual condition without Christ. Without Christ, they were spiritually dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins, but they were quite alive to all kinds of wickedness. The sinner, apart from God, spends his time following the ways of the world and gratifying the cravings of his sinful nature. God is undesirable to him, so he resists him and shuts him out of his life. The sinner may create a God in his own mind who is not offensive to him, but as for the true God of the Bible, he has no time for him. That is spiritual death. There are plenty of people walking around physically alive, but spiritually dead. How is Jesus the answer to spiritual death? Jesus answers spiritual death with spiritual life. Men and women who are dead in trespasses and sins need life. They need to be born again. They need to be born from above, like Jesus told Nicodemus. That passage from Ephesians says, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ." That is spiritual life from spiritual death. The story of Lazarus is an excellent illustration of how Jesus Christ calls men and women out of spiritual death into life. Men and women who are spiritually dead cannot do anything to help themselves. Neither can anyone else do anything to help them. If Martha and Mary had gone to the grave of Lazarus and called him, he would not have responded. Maybe they did do this while he was lying there dead, and he did not respond. If we were to go out to the cemetery this afternoon and try to call someone out of their grave, they would not respond. So it is with people who are dead in sin. They cannot do anything for themselves, and neither can anyone else do anything for them. But when Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life, calls, dead men do respond, just like Lazarus. And they come alive to God as the Holy Spirit regenerates their hearts, breathes life into their dead souls. From that point on, they have spiritual life. That is what Jesus meant when He said, "Whoever believes in Me, yet shall he live." One Sunday morning when Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a teenager, he was determined to go to church in spite of the fact that there was a snowstorm. The snowstorm actually prevented him from getting to the church he intended to attend that morning, but there was a primitive Methodist chapel that he was able to get to. So he went in to worship that day with them because of the snowstorm. In that chapel, there may have been a dozen or 15 people, he said. He had heard of the primitive Methodist, how they sang so loudly that they made people's heads ache, but that did not matter to him. He wanted to know how he might be saved. And if they could tell him that, he did not care how much they made his head ache. The minister did not come that morning. He was snowed up somewhere. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or a tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. This was a very uninstructed man, and he had little else to say besides what the text said. His text was Isaiah 45:22. "Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." He did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. There was a glimpse of hope for him in that text. The preacher began thus, "My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, 'Look.' Now looking don't take a deal of pain. It ain't lifting your foot or your finger. It's just look. Well, a man needn't go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look." That man went on about 10 minutes, Spurgeon said, until he got to the end of his tether, and then he spotted Spurgeon under the gallery. And he knew he was a stranger, so he fixed his eyes on young Spurgeon, and he said, "Young man, you look very miserable. And you will always be miserable in life and miserable in death if you don't obey My text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved." Then, lifting his hand, he shouted, "Young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You have nothing to do but to look and live." Spurgeon saw at once the way of salvation. That was the day of his conversion. Later on, Spurgeon said, "When for the first time I received the gospel to my soul's salvation, I thought that I had never really heard it before. And I began to think that the preachers to whom I had listened had not truly preached it. But on looking back, I am inclined to believe that I had heard the gospel fully preached to me many hundreds of times before, and that this was the difference, that I then heard it as though I heard it not. And when I did hear it, the message may not have been any more clear in itself than it had been at the former times, but the power of the Holy Spirit was present to open my ear and to guide the message into my heart." Spurgeon said, "I thought I had never before heard that truth preached, but now I am persuaded that the light often shone on my eyes, but I was blind. And therefore I thought that the light had never come there. The light was shining all the while, but there was no power to receive it. The eyeball of the soul was not sensitive to the divine beams. That is how Jesus is the answer to spiritual death. He answers spiritual death with spiritual life. People sit in the light of the gospel and don't see it because they are spiritually blind. People sit in the hearing of the gospel and don't hear it because they are spiritually deaf. People do not respond to the gospel because they are spiritually dead. But then one day the Holy Spirit comes and opens those blind eyes. He unstops those deaf ears. And He breathes life into that dead spirit. And all of a sudden there is spiritual life. Spiritual life is the answer to spiritual death. Another kind of death addressed in this passage that is closely related to spiritual death is eternal death. Jesus is the answer to eternal death. Eternal death is an extension of spiritual death into eternity. Spiritual death is separation from God. Eternal death is eternal separation from God. People who die physically without Christ face eternal death. They are ushered into eternity without Christ, to an eternal separation from God. Jesus spoke of eternal death when He told the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. He said, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd." Separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from Me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" That eternal departure from God into eternal fire is eternal death. Jesus answers eternal death with eternal life. We saw last week in John chapter 10 that Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I will give them eternal life, and no one shall ever snatch them out of My hand. And the Father's hand is greater than all, and no one shall ever snatch them out of My Father's hand." He is talking about the same thing here when He says, "Everyone who lives and believes in Me shall never die." Jesus promises to believers in Him that we shall never face the prospect of eternal separation from God. He gives eternal life in answer to eternal death. The other kind of death addressed in this passage is physical death. Jesus is the answer to physical death. Physical death is the separation of the soul from the body. James 2:26 is a passage in the Bible where it is clear that it is talking about physical death. When it says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." This verse is making an analogy between physical death and dead faith. And it could not be more plain. It says, "The body without the spirit is dead." Death is the consequence of sin. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Adam sinned and brought a curse upon all of his posterity, because he was our representative. He was our federal head of the race. You and I, as children of Adam, suffer the consequences of his sin and our sin, which is death. We come into this world spiritually dead, separated from God. We come into this world physically dying. As we grow older, we see the debilitating effects of sin on our bodies. Our legs slow down and begin to tremble when we walk. Our backs and shoulders stoop. Our teeth fall out. Our eyesight grows dim. We lose our youthful energy we had in the springtime of our lives. There's a graphic picture of this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is slow, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low, they are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." All of us are subject to physical death. There is no escaping it, except for the return of Christ at the climax of this age. And there is no way to know when it may come. In old age, when we expect it, or unexpectedly in our youth, physical death may be around the next corner or over the very next hill for any one of us. Jesus answers the problem of physical death by the resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." That is, even though a person dies physically, he will live again physically because his body will be raised from the dead. This is another one of those "I am" statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. There are at least 7 of them. Now think about this. Back in John chapter 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Then what did he do? He miraculously fed the 5,000 to demonstrate his claim to be the bread of life. Back in chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then what did he do? In chapter 9, he gave sight to a blind man who had been living in darkness since his birth. By doing that, he demonstrated his claim to be the light of the world. When Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life, your brother will rise again," she understood him to be talking about the resurrection at the end of the age. That is when the resurrection will occur, at the end of the age. But in order to demonstrate that he is the resurrection and the life, and to give us a small illustration of the final resurrection, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Just as Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus and called forth that dead man, he will call forth all of the dead, and they will come out of their graves at the end of the age. Jesus said, "Do not be amazed at this. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." The resurrection of Lazarus was temporary, I believe, because nothing in the text indicates that he had a glorified body. And the Bible says that Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. No one but Christ has been raised from the dead with a glorified resurrection body. I believe that Lazarus came back to his old body, healed of its sickness, but not glorified. And so he would have died again physically. However, Jesus settled the issue of life beyond the grave and the resurrection forever when he himself died and rose again. Jesus Christ was crucified, according to tradition, on Friday. His body lay in a tomb Friday, Saturday, and until Sunday morning when he rose again. And just like he rose from the dead, we who are believers in him will rise. We will rise because he is the resurrection and the life. If you are here today and you are still dead in your trespasses and sins, why don't you respond in faith to Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Believe in him. And though you may die physically, you will live in heaven. And you will never face eternal death. And your body will be raised in glory. May God enable you to believe as you respond to Jesus' word today. Let us rejoice and worship him because he is the answer to death. Let's pray.